good morning,
Love
everybody.
Talk Radio.
It is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed that you are with me this morning. Your host was in another Bible study, and it was just so rich and good that I lost track of time. So forgive your host this morning, but I can only say his grace is sufficient for me, and thanking God for favor. You know, we talked about this word that I heard this morning, last week, when we talked about our week before last, when we talked about Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, and the favor he was given by David to go from being in Lodabar to being at the king's table. And, you know, I love it when I hear this word, because it's preached differently depending on who preaches the message. And, you know, ours was just strictly Bible study. But this morning it was taught as a message, and it was rich. Grace and favor. And that you may be living on the favor of your mother, your father, those that have come before you. And it was good. So thank you, and shout out to Morning Glory Nation for a word. Thank you, Pastor, for it. Love, 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 love the word this morning. As they say, rich and powerful. So let us get into our word this morning. And it also is rich and powerful. And the word God gave me this morning was, everything is for a reason. May God be glorified. Woo, hallelujah. May God be glorified in everything we do. You know, today's word, we're talking about Lazarus. You know, the son, the friend, the brother, the everything. Jesus is ace. Is one of BFF. Died. But he didn't die to just die. He died so God may be glorified in the word we have this morning. You know, we are going through right now in our nation, you know, dealing with a week ago today, our babies were killed, and honorable, brave teachers were murdered, 19 people in Texas. But all through the weekend, there have been more murders and more killings and more everything. It's like the enemy is busy. But the one thing I can say again is that everything has a purpose and a reason. Everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. If we had not had a Job, many of us would be right there. Well, the curse God, because we ill, sick, person died, mama died, daddy died, and we want to be mad at God. But because of a Job who went through so much and looked at his wife and said, woman, you sound foolish. You know, as the song said, woman, you sound foolish. Don't sound like my wife. Come on, Chicago. Mississippi Mass, I think, sings that song. You know, we got to understand that everything happens for a purpose and a reason. God is trying to get your attention. And in the case of Lazarus, it was for a purpose that he died. So the God to be glorified, the Son of Man to be glorified. And, you know, unless we go through our new Old Testament words, Solomon is building. He's doing some stuff. You know, God is giving us a reality check. With King Solomon. But we got to learn how to worship and work and do what we're called to do, that God may be glorified in everything. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning glorifying you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for giving us another day, for giving us a do-over. Thanking you, Lord God, for all the men and women, the brave men and women who have gone before us to protect our land, to protect our nation, to give their life for a brother. On this Memorial Day, Lord God, I ask you to watch over and bless all the veterans who reside in with you, because your word is absent from the body. It's in the presence of the Lord. So, Father, I know that the veterans are with you, for they fight in the army of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for my late husband, Rich, Lieutenant Colonel of the Army, Richmond J. McKean. I thank you for my father-in-law, Richmond D. Smith, who served in World War II in the Navy. I thank you for my son, who served in the Air Force. My brother, who also was a Navy man, Dale Johnson. My brother-in-law, Gregory Lewis Sr., who was also in the Army. My nephew, Greg Lewis Jr., was in the Navy. And so many other, my uncle James, who was a Vietnam veteran, Marine. So my family has served the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines. And I can only say thank you, God, for that service to our nation, and all love you. So, Father God, I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, asking you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and redeemer, Father. And I thank you for allowing me to be a part of your family. Lord God, I ask you to guide and lead me as I work today, the work you have called me to do. Let everything I do, Father God, glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get into our word, family. And the word of God, we are coming out of 1 Kings. Woo-hoo! We got a lot of word in Kings. So we're in 1 Kings chapter 7 and chapter 8. We are in, we'll be in our Psalm this morning. It's Psalm 68, verses 28 through 35. Proverbs 17, verses 16 through 17. John 11, chapter 11. And we're talking Lazarus. And we're talking Martha and Mary. And God be glorified in what we are getting ready to speak on. And so we'll be in John 11, 1 through 29 today, and we'll be in John 11, 33 to 57 on tomorrow. So let's get started, get to 1 Kings. I will be coming out of the New King James Version. And again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Do you hear me say a life lesson? The life lessons are coming from Dr. Stanley. And I can say this with all my heart. I am a Dr. Stanley. I just love that. I think he is an awesome, wonderful man of God. And I'll say it again as my disclaimer. No, I am not being paid by Intense Ministries or Hawk This Bible. But I will tell everybody, it is a great daily Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. You should have more than one Bible. You know, I got my King James. I also got the New King James, the NIV, the Amplified, the Chronological, the Hebrew, Greek Bible. You know, you get all of them. And I also got, you know, the book of Maccabees, as well as, you know, some stuff they say you shouldn't read, like Enoch. You know, but you got to read everything, you know, to get an understanding. Because as you read the word, we talked about the Maccabees yesterday. You know, Hanukkah comes from the Maccabees, but we don't hear anything about it. It's never preached in church. We don't hear about the war. We don't hear about the fact that the reason those candles burn is for a purpose and a reason. You know, we need to understand other religions so you can understand your own. Because when you talk to true people that are Muslims, we have all this Islamic phobia. When you talk to them, they know more about Jesus than some Christians do. Because, oh, by the way, he's mentioned, even for them, that he was a great prophet and that some of the teachings on Muhammad came from Jesus. Just what I was told, can't prove it, but I had a great conversation with a young man of Muslim faith just last week, and we talked about Jesus and understanding. And I was like, wow, very awesome, young man. You know, totally different than the Mecca. You know, you got to understand that everybody will know the name of Jesus. More religions know the name of Jesus than you imagine. Christians, we got to get up on ourselves. We got to get to know more about Jesus. And the fact is that he didn't just show up at 30 years old. There's a lot of history out there from those other times, from 12 years old to 30 years old, that we don't talk about because we haven't looked and dug into other religions to find out that Jesus was a lot of places before he ever made it into our book. There's a lot of word out there. So let's get into our word this morning. And that word is what Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. So he finished all his house. He also built the house of the fourth of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits, with four rows of cedar pillars and cedar beams on the pillars. And it was paneled with the cedar, with cedar above the beams that were on 45 pillars, 15 to a row. There were windows with beveled frames in three rows, and windows were opposite windows in three tiers. And all the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames, and window was opposite window in three tiers. He also made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits and its width 30 cubits. And in front of them was a portico with pillars and a canopy was in front of them. Then he made a hall for the throne, a hall of judgment, where he might judge, and it was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. Then he made a hall for the throne, and the house where he dwelt had another court inside the hall of like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as wife. And all these were the costly stones cut to size, trimmed with saws, inside and out from the foundation to the eaves. And also on the outside to the great court, the foundation was of costly stones, large stones, some 10 cubits, some 8 cubits, and above were costly stones hung to size and cedar wood. The great court was enclosed with three rows of hung stones and a row of cedar beams. So were the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the temple. Now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding, and skilled in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all his work. And he cast two pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, and a line of cubits of 12. Then he made two capitals of cast bronze to set on the top of the pillars. The height of one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. He made lattice network with wreaths of chain work for the capitals, which were on top of the pillars. 7 chains for one capital and 7 for the other capital. So he made the pillars in 2 rows of pomegranates above the network all around. to cover the capitals that were on top, and thus he did for the other capitals. The capitals which were on top of the pillars in the hall were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits. And you're like, why in the world are we reading all this extra stuff about the carpentry of Solomon's house? Because it's important, or it wouldn't be here. It's important, or it wouldn't be here. And I always say that everything we have in the Bible is for a purpose and a reason, that God may be glorified. And then it goes on to tell us, then he set up the pillars by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillars on the right and called its name Dakin. And he set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies. So the work of the pillars was finished. And he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. It was huge. Below its brim were ornamental birds encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit all the way around the sea. The ornamental birds were cast in 2 rows. Then it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 to set upon them, and all the back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 2,000 baths. He also made 10 carts of bronze. 4 cubits was the length of each cart, 4 cubits in width, and 4 cubits in height. And this was the design of the carts. They had panels, and the panels were between frames. On the panels that were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cubits, and cherubim. And on the frames were the pedestals on top. Below the lions and oxen were wreaths of plaited work. Every cart had 4 bronze wheels and axes of bronze, and its 4 feet had support under the lever was support opening inside the crown at the top with 1 cubic in diameter, and the opening was round shaped like a pedestal, 1.5 cubic on outside the meter, and also on the opening were engravings. But the panels were square, not round. Under the panels were the 4 wheels, and the axles of the wheels were joined to the cart, and the height of the wheel was 1.5 cubits. And it says the workmanship of the wheels was like a workmanship of chariot wheels. The axle pins, the rims, the spokes, and the rear hubs were all of cast bronze. This man worked. And it goes on to tell us in verse 36, on the plates of the plates and on the panels he engraved cherubim, lions, and palm trees. Wherever there was a clear space on each were wreaths all around. Thus he made the 10 carts. All of them were of the same mold, 1 measure, 1 shape. Then he made 10 layers, levers of bronze. Each lever contained 40 baths, and each lever was 4 cubits. On each of the 10 carts was a lever. And he put 5 carts on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house. He set the sea on the right side of the house toward the southeast. Horeb made the levers and the shovels and the bowls. So Horeb finished doing all the work that he was to do for King Solomon, for the house of the Lord. The 2 pillars, the 2 bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the 2 pillars, the 2 networks covering the 2 bowl-shaped capitals which were on top of the pillars. 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network. All these articles, which are made for King Solomon for the house of the Lord, were of burnished bronze. In the plain of Jordan, the king then cast in clay molds between Sakoth and Zarethan. And Solomon did not weigh all the articles because there were so many. The weight of the bronze was not determined. Then Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord, the altar of gold and the table of gold, of which was the showbread, the lampstand of pure gold, five on the right and five on the left, in front of the sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, the basins, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner room, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the furnaces. He put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Again, everything is for a reason, to glorify God. This young man from Tyre, he came in and built God's house, given him to do the work he was called to do. And we are doing what we are called to do. Everything is for a reason. May God be glorified. And even in this workmanship, God was being glorified. And as we continue, it says, now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, chapter 8 of 1 Kings, and all the heads of the tribes of the chief fathers of the children of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethan, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, who were assembled with him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for a multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I can just hold my hand. The glory of the Lord filled his house on yesterday. And I just got to shout out the praise team, AVLP, y'all showed out yesterday. I'm a member also of AVLP, but it was not my day to sing because I was out of town and did not make practice. And, you know, by rules and by just good conduct, you know, if you don't make practice, setting yourself down in the audience, which is what I did. And, oh, it was meant for me. When they sang a song, it just touched my soul. And the next thing I know, the tears were just flowing, cleansing tears. Because, you know, when I think of Memorial Day, I think of my family and I think of my late husband and the fact that, you know, he is no longer here and that he served so much. You know, he was a lieutenant colonel, which is not as pretty rare. And he did it with integrity. And he loved what he did for the government, country, not the government, but for his country. He was ready to go all packed for Desert Storm. He was all packed for Iraqi freedom. He was all packed for any and every conflict. that he was supposed to go to or would have been called up to go to, but he was never called to go overseas. It's all his assignments were in the States. But I thank God for his service. And my son, who is a veteran, who has been overseas, who has been in the desert, as they say, I thank God for his service as well. So thank God for the sacrifice of their life for you. Thank God for your mothers and your fathers and your grannies and your nanas and your memes that have gone before you and your pop-pops and your grandpas and your uncles and your aunts and the village that raised you. Give God glory as you thank them. And this is what Solomon did. He thanked God. He thanked his dad. Because David accumulated everything that was needed for the temple so Solomon could build it. And I tell you, it was, as you read the cubits and everything, in your mind you can see the magnificence of God's house. And God was dwelling there personally. He was in the smoke, in the clouds. The Lord said, the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built your exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. The king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who spoke with his mouth to my father David and with his hand has fulfilled his saying, since the day that I brought my people out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple. Hallelujah. And he did it. Everything is for a reason. Ooh, hallelujah. So God will be glorified. And it says, I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. He's got to give a little history lesson. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercies with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hands, as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth, behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication. O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward the temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And May you hear the supplication of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. Here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When you hear, forgive. When everyone sins against them, when anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servant, condemning the wicked, bring this way on his head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward the place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servant, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way to which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or plight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their city, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hand toward this temple, then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner, come on now, who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country, for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name, your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this temple, hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all people of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that the temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, and that they take them captive to the land of the enemy far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their hearts and with all their souls in the land of their enemies, who lead them away captive and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer, their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, and they may have compassion on them, for they are your people, and your inheritance whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be opened to the supplication of your servants and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you, for you separate them from among all the people of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses, which you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord. And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all the prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised to his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night. Ooh, thank you, Lord. He may maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people, Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Can I say that again? His people, Israel. Let me go back up to verse 39. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, keep his commandments. Woo, hallelujah. Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 150,000 sheep. Ooh. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord on the same day. The king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, but there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings before the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small. Ooh. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Had an aunt decide to come and join the show this morning. For there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings before the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. At that same time, Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the 18th day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went to their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David and for Israel, his people. We must always give God glory, give God honor, and give God praise, for there is no God like our God. Everything is for a reason, for God to get the glory. Praising the Lord this morning. And as we continue in our word today, in Psalm 68, verses 28-35. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us because of your temple at Jerusalem. He will bring presence to you. Rebuke the beast of the reed and the herd of bulls with the chaos of the people. Tell everyone submit and suffer pieces of silver. Gather the people with the light and war. Armors will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah, to him who rides on the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Oh, God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives. Blessed be God. And everything is for a reason, that God may get the glory. Proverbs 17:16-17. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Hallelujah. Let's keep it moving. And our New Testament word is our word from which our title is coming from this morning. Everything is for a reason. May God be glorified. We know that Lazarus has died. In our word today, he is sick, and Jesus goes to Bethany. And we'll go back and, if time permits, do some life lessons and life examples. But the word is what we are here to read. And it says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed our Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his hair with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And I want to put a pin right there, because they act like, you know, this coffee oil and she's doing this. But the word of God is finally, it's in here. You know, you're like, well, we don't know what Mary it is. Yes, we do. We don't know who that woman was in Bethany that, you know, yes, it was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And it is here in John chapter 11 that it tells us who she was. It is in writing. So I'm going to go back one more time, because, again, everything is for a reason. May God be glorified. God was glorified in her sacrifice and the wiping of his hair with her feet, because the host, he told him, you didn't even offer me water to bathe. This woman is getting me ready. Not knowing that it would take some time, but that Jesus was going to die. And this miracle that we're about to read about is one of the reasons why they were after him and after Lazarus again. So let's go back to this word one more time, so that it, you understand that everything that we need to know is in the word. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that, y'all caught that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and the Son of God may be glorified through it. For a reason, for God to be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Whoa. you got to touch that. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our Lord, let us sleep, that I go, that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. Moreover, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm going. I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out, met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Mary was sitting in the house. Mary's like, I'm just here. But she knew that miraculous what's going to happen. She just knew when the Savior comes, something's going to happen, because she sat at his feet and she listened to his words and she was expecting. Are you expecting Jesus to come and do a miracle for you today? Are you expecting the name of Jesus? Are you expecting God to be glorified in everything that you do? It says, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection, the last day. He was like, you don't know what I'm talking about. Let me explain it again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's a highlightable. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. I just got to read a highlightable one more time. Jesus said to her, and he's saying to you, he's saying to me, I am the resurrection. There I am again. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you believe in Jesus today? Are you living for the Lord today? Are you doing what you're called to do today? Are you going to work for the Lord? And it tells us, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in this? Do you believe this? Yes, I do. We will have eternal life. We will have that light of the world. We will have Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. And then Martha, who's Miss Skeptic, Lord, tell her that I got too much work to do and that she needs to help me. Come on now, that Martha. But Jesus, she said to Jesus on that road, hallelujah, to Bethany, she said to him, yes, Lord. Do you have a yes, Lord, in your spirit this morning? I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whew, what a word this morning. And as we go back over a few other life lessons today, just remember, who do you work for? You work for God. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know that he's coming back? Do you know who he is, that he is I am? And he is the faith of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your grace this morning. And our life lesson from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, when the priest of the holy place, that the cloud fill the house of the Lord, sometimes the presence of the Lord becomes so obvious and mighty that we must cease our ministry and simply worship. Who our God fills the universe, yet he chose to dwell in a special way in the Jerusalem temple. Today he lives not in a man-made temple, but in the hearts of all those who believe in Christ. In those moments of intimacy, we feel our highest purpose. Hallelujah. Are you taking time out with God today? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 24, you have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. It honors God and blesses us when we publicly acknowledge that our God keeps all of his promises. He is absolutely trustworthy, and we can build our lives on his word. It is important periodically gather as the people of God to celebrate with joyful and glad hearts all the good things that the Lord does for us. This not only honors him, it encourages us to stay true. It encourages us, excuse me, to stay true to him. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 38, when each one knows the prayers of his own heart, it is important that each of us knows the prayers of our own heart. We are not to dwell morbidly over our own sinfulness, but we need to know our personal tendencies toward a certain kind of sin, since we are all prone to wandering, 1 Kings 8 and 46. It is wise to pray regularly that God would give us a great love for him and grant us the desire to walk in his way and joyfully obey his word. To 8 verse 43, that all people of the earth may know your name and fear you. From the very beginning, God desired that the whole world come to know, love, worship, and serve him. Intimacy with God is his highest priority everywhere on earth. Are you having intimacy with God today? Are you trusting in him today? And as we get into our New Testament word, John 11 and 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Jesus did not mean that Lazarus would not die. He did, but that the episode would not end in death. When Jesus is involved, death ends nothing. As the Lord of life, he triumphs over even death. Woo, hallelujah. In everything, there is a reason. We got to give God glory today. In 11, 14, and 15, I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. We have to understand that God is far more concerned with growing our faith than with making us comfortable. Jesus said he was glad because of death of Lazarus, because he was valued, because he valued his sin over their tears. Whew, he loved Lazarus. Lazarus was an ace. Lazarus was a friend. Lazarus opened his home to him. And Jesus appreciated the blessing of Lazarus as a friend and as a confidant. And as we finish up this word this morning, another life example, worship as you work. After Jesus raised a brother from the dead, Martha finally understood the awesome power of Christ. She knew that nothing she could do would ever honor him sufficiently, yet also that he would gladly receive anything done for him out of a heart of genuine devotion. It says, God invites you to use your gifts to express praise to him, especially if you use them with a grateful, joyful heart. If, however, they become your avenue for seeking acceptance and prestige as with Martha at the beginning, then they can become a source of bitterness and resentment. Your actions can either proclaim Christ or they can seek your own advancement. You can use your talents with an attitude of praise or an attitude of self-promotion. As you express your gift today, sit in your testimony. Will you serve out of praise to him? Will you choose work or worship? And we choose to worship as we work. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his word this morning. Thanking God for each of you. Before we get out of here, one more time, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And a word for this morning is this: everything will not always seem like it's going right, but trust God. He has it all worked out. Have a marvelous Monday. And again, right on point, right on time, right word. And for the word God gave me was this: everything is for a reason. May God be glorified. Whew, hallelujah. Everything will not always seem like it's going right. Everything is for a reason. But trust God. He has it all worked out. Have a marvelous Monday, family. And I thank you for joining me this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent ones from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over each and every one of you. God willing, please join me tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God, keeping God first in everything we do. Thank you so much. It's a wrap, but for those that can stay about a minute or two longer, I do have a prayer this morning to share, and it is called Unconditional Acceptance. And it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. And we read that in John 6:37 some weeks ago, and this is from the NASB version. But this is our prayer for this morning as we wrap up. Merciful Father, you are so good in the way that you accept me with open arms. You did not have to, but you chose to. I cannot begin to thank you for your mercy that takes me in just as I am, time and time again. I never have to dress myself up or convince you that I'm worthy of your attention or love. You are the one teaching me how valuable I am. You've known it all along. How could I describe the depth of the gratitude I feel? You know. You never cast out your children. And I'm going to read that one more time. How could I describe the depth of the gratitude I feel? Thankful, grateful, and blessed. You never cast out your children. When I think of the story of the prodigal son and how he squandered his inheritance and the joy the father expressed at his return home, I am overcome by the thought of such a parent. Your goodness goes far beyond my comprehension, and yet here I am, living in it. Thank you for your complete and unconditional acceptance of who I am. You make me comfortable in my own skin. I love you so much. And a word to think about this morning is this: do you believe that every part of you is fully accepted? Do you believe that every part of you is fully accepted by God? And the answer is yes. Thank you so much, family. That's our word for this morning. I am pleased and honored to have been with you today to go over God's word and to teach God's word and to read God's word. And I ask God to watch over you and to bless you. And as we go into this day, this Memorial Day, just remember those have gone before you, because those that have gone before you made an impact on your life. And it is them that we honor today to say thank you, Lord, for my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my friends, for my mother, my father, and those that gave birth to me. I thank you, Lord, for all your grace and all your mercy toward all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. It is officially a wrap. Thank you for those that stayed on to hear the prayer this morning. Please, again, join me tomorrow morning, again, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in God's Word. Have